Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Turbo Time podcast. I am your host, Alyssa Maripodi, the managing editor of Turbo Machinery International. And our guest on today's show is Paul Damasio. He is the VP of Engineering at Pro Energy. Thank you for joining me today, Paul. Welcome.
Thank you, Alyssa. It's a pleasure to be here.
So today we're talking about aeroderivative gas turbines, what sets them apart from other types of turbines, their repair and maintenance needs, and some other points. So, Paul, can you kick us off by explaining what makes the aeroderivative LM6000 and the LM2500 turbines unique?
That's a great question. And the really great story about those turbines is they were first very successful airplane engines developed for the U.S. military for the C-5 Galaxy transport, and they were originally called the TF-39. And then GE decided that the commercial aviation industry, specifically McDonnell Douglas and Boeing, who were building wide-body aircraft, which surprisingly looks similar to the C-5 Galaxy because it's the definition of wide-body, they needed very powerful engines, and also they were worried about fuel economy. And so what GE did was they took the TF-39, they redesigned it into the CF6-6. And that engine was what powered the Douglas DC-10, the first wide body, and the Boeing 747. Well, those initial aircraft were growing as passengers discovered how much more comfortable they are. The flight number of people went up dramatically, and the need for bigger engines and bigger aircraft occurred. So they developed the CF6-50 and the CF6-80C2 for the larger versions of those airplanes. Now, the reason that's important is, for example, the CF6-80C2 that powers the bigger 747s and also powers the President's Air Force One aircraft is because it was the most reliable engine available at the time, the best fuel economy, and over 8,500 ADC2 engines were produced by GE, and they're still in production today. So what makes them unique is there were other airplane engines available from other manufacturers like Rolls-Royce and others. And the advantage that the GE engines had to convert them to land and marine, that's what the LM stands for, applications, GE also had divisions of their business that understood marine power plants, which were primarily steam turbines at the time, and power plants for the grid, which were also primarily steam turbines, but they understood the differences between those demands versus what an airplane engine has, and they recognized that they would need to redesign the turbine to focus on those applications. And they were uniquely positioned as they already had power and naval systems businesses, so they understood those applications better than anyone else. So they modified the CF6-6 turbine initially for the LM2500 application as a shipboard power plant. So they redesigned the turbine so that the power turbine was disconnected from the gas generator or the high-speed core and was able to turn at any RPM that it needed to. This was true for the fan of the aero engine, but they wanted to separate the two because to drive a ship, you need to gear it down to a very low speed for the water propeller. And so they wanted to be able to give the captain of the ship the opportunity to go to full power and high RPM of the propeller, or throttle it back to almost no speed if he's near the docking or needs to be at slow speed for any reason. So that gives the great flexibility with that. the reason that they were able to offer that is the gas generator, the high-speed core, is completely disconnected and can run at any speed that it needs to provide the air necessary for the power turbine and the ship's demands. Then GE realized that while the LM2500 works very well in power or grid-based applications, the CF680C2, which is much more powerful, would be a better engine for the power market. And so they modified the CF680C2, basically took the fan off, increased the size of the booster, the initial compressor of the engine, and they intended it to run in synchronous operation with the grid, so at 3,600 RPM. The advantage that gives the engine is all the power is running through the LP spool. The high-speed core, which literally wraps around that the LP spool, can still behave as an independent gas generator and run at whatever speed it needs to supply the required power, while the LP core maintains the generator frequency of 60 hertz or 3,600 RPM. So this is sort of a long explanation of the history of how these engines were developed. And the founder of ProEnergy, Jeff Cannon, installed and operated the first two LM6000 turbines ever produced for the Florida Power and Light Utility in 1993. It's a bit of history there for us.
So what are the advantages and differences between an aero turbine used as a peaker, for example, versus a turbine used in marine propulsion?
That's a good one. Again, I'll go back in history to compare the development of the engine for the marine application and then evolve it as GE did. Powering a ship is a balancing act, just like driving an over-the-road truck. You want dependable power, but you also want the best fuel economy. The good news is with a ship, once it's loaded and it leaves the dock, you want to operate the ship at the speed that gives you the best fuel economy. And that's where a diesel engine or a gas turbine are very efficient because they're optimized literally for that rated load. And the LM2500 with a free power turbine gives you the flexibility that you can adjust the speed of the propeller when you're coming into dock without having to disengage the main power unit. And so you have tremendous flexibility, but it's also very efficient. And this was initially designed for military ships that range in tonnage from as little as 250 tons all the way up to 50,000 tons. And what they did for the larger ships is they just added more engines. So you could modularly add more power as you needed it. And frequently the larger ships have multiple propellers, so each engine would drive one propeller, which gave you redundancy and improved your ship's reliability. So from that, that was how the LM2500 came to be, and they used it to drive everything from ships. They even used it on oil rigs as the main power supply for the oil rigs. And so when they realized that a larger engine would be more useful to power grids, they took the ADC2 and they developed the LM6000. What they did differently is the LM6000 is a two-spool machine, just like the LM2500's predecessor, the CF6. But they did not separate the engine into two pieces like they did with the LM2500. They put the larger booster in front of the high-speed core, and then they put a connection to a coupling shaft to the generator at both ends of the LM6000. So you could drive a generator from the hot end the exhaust or from the cold end. And the high-speed core was still free to run at whatever speed and airflow it needed to generate the power you required. And that gave it the flexibility to maintain emissions standards and fuel economy standards, while the low-speed shaft continued to run at exactly the grid frequency. So again, they took advantage of a two-spool machine to maintain efficiency and emissions, but made it much more compact and shorter so that it fit in more places, because sometimes power plants are actually pretty crowded, even though you wouldn't expect that. A peaker plant is a unique application where you only need power for brief periods of time as opposed to baseload. So it accumulates many start-stop cycles. And one of the reasons an aero engine is uniquely fitted for peaker duty is they're designed from the aviation side to start daily or even many times during a day and then shut down when they're not needed because you've landed and you're exchanging passengers. Well, that's perfect for a peaker application. Aero engines also go through very significant load changes from max power at takeoff to cruise power, which ranges from 40% to 60% of the output of the engine. And then during descent, they're basically at flight idle, doing very little because the airplane is descending. And then once they've landed, they reverse thrust and go to a very short duration but high power pulse to brake the airplane so that it slows quickly and doesn't wear out the brakes and tires of the aircraft. So that also is an advantage for a peaker application, because frequently you want a peaker to load follow or to group control the grid. So if the grid is lowering frequency and needs more power, the engine ramps up to power very, very quickly. And then if the load peak passes and the grid doesn't need the power, they can throttle back very quickly as well and still maintain reasonable fuel economy. So that's why an aero engine makes better sense for a peaker application than a heavy-duty frame engine, because those engines are optimized for continuous operation and they're much less efficient as you reduce their power. And they don't like cycling on and off. They take LCF damage much faster than an aero engine does. So that's the primary advantage for aeros.
Okay, wonderful. This was a great discussion, Paul. Thank you for coming on the TurboTime podcast today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And thank you to our audience for tuning in today. I'm your host, Alyssa Maripodi, and we will see you next time.